I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 20, please. Young people over here to my right, I want you to stop playing and talking on the front row. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse number 1. Once you find 1 Kings chapter 20, I want you to stand with me. 1 Kings chapter 20. Stand, if you will, starting with verse number 1. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. We're going to read the first four verses, where the Bible says this: "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 30 and 2 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver, thy gold is mine, thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have." Look back at me, if you will. The last few words of that last verse, verse number 4, is the title of my sermon this morning: I am thine and all that I have. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, give us a good service, not in our opinion, but in yours. You knew in eternity past what would be preached in this place this day. God, you knew. You knew who would be here. There's not an accidental presence here. Everybody that's here, you knew it. And they may have not planned until the last minute to be here, but you knew they would be here. You knew what would be preached. And in a divine way, you have an appointment with their heart, their mind, and this truth. I pray that they would not miss the purpose for which this sermon was created in their life. Holy Spirit of God, reach into our hearts and our minds and help us to leave this place better Christians because we came to church. Help us not just to leave having been entertained or having been social, but help us to leave more spiritual because we've met with thy Spirit and we've learned and been challenged from thy Word. Bless us now, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't believe in sinless perfection. I don't believe that you could ever be perfect. But I do believe that you should strive to be as sinless as you can possibly be. The fact that I can't be perfect should not stop me from wanting to perfect my life to whatever degree that is possible. Let me tell you the story that's taking place in this passage that we read. There was a war taking place between Syria and Israel. Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria. Ahab was the king of Israel. Ben-Hadad had gathered his allies, and Ben-Hadad and his allies had besieged the city of Samaria. Besiege means they surrounded it. Nobody could get in. Nobody could get out. They couldn't get food in or supplies in. Nobody could get out and escape. Ben-Hadad had sent messengers to Ahab, the king of Israel, who was locked down inside that city. And he basically tells him, he said, these are my terms in regard to the surrender that needs to take place. He says, all your silver, that's going to be mine. He said, all your gold, that's going to be mine. All the wives that are there, they're all going to become ours. All the children that are there, they're going to become ours. The best of everything that you have, the goodliest of all your things will become mine. In other words, he was saying to the people that were trapped in that city, he said, I win, you lose, and you are going to give me 100% total surrender. The king of Israel, Ahab, he responds to that request. Remember, Ahab's the one that's stuck inside the city. The enemy's on the outside. The enemy said, you're going to give me complete surrender. So Ahab responds to the request. And this is what he says in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 4. He says, and the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. In other words, Ahab said, I'm going to surrender everything to you. Everything that you ask for, you get it. Ben-Hadad had asked for complete 100% surrender, and Ahab said, I'll give you complete 100% surrender. Those words, listen to them, I am thine, and all that I have. That's how he put it. You know, folks, those words should be spoken by every Christian to our King God. Everybody, under the sound of my voice, need to say to your God, I am thine and all that I have. It wasn't many days ago, I was in a place of business, and it had a waiting room. There was a handful of people in that waiting room, frolicking and talking. A preoccupied young mother was busy texting. Her two-year-old, I would guess, two-and-a-half-year-old toddler boy. I can't exactly figure out what his name was because she called him more than one thing. He was full of energy, and she was so preoccupied with her telephone, she wasn't watching him. And I was studying. I wasn't paying real close attention, but I did notice where she was sitting, there was kind of an end table or a magazine table that had a variety of magazines on it. And on that table, there was a decorative bowl, and that bowl was always about this big around, about the size, maybe a little bigger than a basketball, and it was a low, flat bowl. In the middle of that bowl was a candle. Then they had poured, I think what they would have been were wax beads around the outside of that bowl. Can you picture almost these little beads, almost that they were small, about the size, and they were very colorful. Almost looked like a bunch of miniature jelly beans that were surrounding that one candle and that big glass bowl. And so I'm kind of half watching and half not, and Mom is not watching at all. She's playing with her telephone, being a good mother and letting her child do whatever. And the mom at one point finally looks up, and she knows that that little boy has been into that jar where those wax beads are that to me look like little miniature jelly beans. Well, Mom right away knew that there was a problem. She held out her hand, and she said, "Give them to me. Give them to me." And at first he didn't move, and then she did this. She said, "Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Give them to me." So he had a shirt pocket on his little shirt. He reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a little handful of those little wax beads, and he handed it to his mom, turned around, started to walk away, and she said, "Whoop, whoop, whoop, give them to me." So he stuck his hand in his right pocket of his pants. He pulled out some of those little wax beads and handed them to her. He started to walk away. She said, "Hup, up, 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 give them to me." He stuck his hand in his left pocket. He pulled them out and handed them to her. And then she said, "Don't you do that again. Do you understand me?" And he just stared at her. And she said, "Answer me, don't you do that again." And then I realized he still had some of those little beads. He didn't say a word. She said, "Answer me." He started to open his mouth and he started to drool. And she said, "Give them to me." He came over and went, he had filled his mouth with those little wax beads. He was finally able to say, "I understand." Now, you understand what Mom was asking was best for him. Those looked like they were good for him, and he was semi-convinced this was a good thing. I mean, he was convinced enough that he had his little shirt pocket full and his right pants pocket full and his left pant pocket full, and he'd even shoved a good handful of them in his mouth. And Mom knew she needed to ask and insist. I think she was a little surprised at the last mouthful that she got out of him. And you should have seen it. When he was spitting that mouthful out, they were stuck to his tongue. And she, you know, every good mom knows what I'm talking about. She got her finger in there, digging up on his lips and helping him pull them all out and get them all out of there. But she got them. And I think she got them all. What had happened? Mom said, "I want them all. I want them all." He gave them up a little at a time. He would have been better off had he given them all up all at one time. And what Mom was requesting was best. Mom knew what she loved that boy. She wanted him to do right, and to do right was to give up those things that he felt like he wanted to hang on to. I have a question for you today. Is your Heavenly Father standing in front of you today saying, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And you know, so every once in a while, we'll say, okay, Lord, I know what you want. And we pull something out, we put it in his hand. But God's smart enough to know, all right, God will say, come on, give it to me. Give it to me. Look, folks, this is such a simple question. Have you surrendered all to your God? What we need in our churches more than anything else is total surrender to our King, Jehovah God. Anyone who is willing to surrender all can be taught and helped, and their lives for Christ will improve considerably, miraculously, remarkably. But anyone who's not willing to surrender all will find themselves in a spiritual stalemate in regard to their usefulness to God. I think there are things in our lives, and God is saying to us, give it to me. Just like that mama and that little boy, we sing the song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. We sing that song. We've heard that song. We've heard that song sung. We'll watch the pianist go and play that song at invitation time. And in our minds, we know the words. We know what's being said. But let me ask you a question. Do you sing that song as a lie? I wonder how many times during the invitation time, the pianist is sitting there playing, I surrender all, I surrender all. And God, at invitation time, you're sitting in your pew and God's looking down from heaven saying, give it to me then. Come on. Surrender all. Surrender all. Give it to me. Come on. And when you heard that, you thought that was just so cute. And some of you got ahead of the story. You just knew there was going to be another pocket. You just knew that. And as that thing began to unfold, well, let me tell you something. Same is true about you and I. Give it to me, God says. The words used when that king surrendered, he said, I am thine and all that I have. That's the title of my sermon today. I am thine and all that I have. Let me say this first of all. First of all, God expects us to say, I am thine and all that I have. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 11 verse 13, it says, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Why should God expect anything less? He is the very creator of your life. He created the sun. He created the moon. He created the stars. He created the trees. He created the animals. He created the sunshine. And the sun will rise. And the sun will set. And the sun will shine when God commands it to. You and I were just as much created by God as the sun was. But I'll guarantee you the sun has surrendered all to God. We too are His creation. Did you know this? Did you know that God cannot do His whole work in your life when you are only half surrendered to Him? I'm going to tell you why some of you are frustrated about your Christian life. You would like to see more happen with God's intervention in your life. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm being blessed half as much as what I would like. The half that's being held back is usually you holding back half, and God had to have your half so He could add His half so you could have the whole blessing. When you hold back, you are holding back things, great things that could come in your life. You're only half surrendered, so you only feel half used by God. You're only partially surrendered to God, so you're only partially productive for God. You're only slightly surrendered to God, so you are slightly blessed by God, and you don't understand what's going on. Let me tell you something. Have you ever heard someone say, you're not going to get too much more out of that than what you put into it? You say, I would really like God to just pile it on, and God would really like you to just pile it on. God said, give it to me. What you got going in your life that you ought to be giving up? What is that? Give it to me, God says. Give it to me. God expects your full surrender. He expects it. God will do no more with you than you will allow Him to do. And I feel bad for some of you. Some of you don't choose to surrender yourself to God. There are people, and I love you. I'm your friend. There are people in this room, you're backslidden right now. You know better. You know better. Your life ought to be far removed from where it's at. God said, give it to me. And you're just not going to do it. Hey, you know, there are some people in here that they don't know. They've not been trained. There are other people in here. You've been trained and you know better. You just will not give God what He's asking for. But God expects us to say, I am thine. And all that I have. Number two, what does it mean to surrender all? What does that mean when we say, I am thine and all that I have? Well, in actuality, this surrendering of all, it's in two parts, if you will. The first part is for me to daily do what He wants me to do for Him. Okay? Part number one, for me to daily do what He wants me to do for Him. See, some of you, you're surrendered to some degree on Sunday. Because you come to church. But on Monday, you're back up to your old tricks, aren't you? You take you back. Your Monday is your Monday. Your Tuesday is your Tuesday. Your Wednesday is your Wednesday. Your Thursday is your Thursday. Your Friday is your Friday. Your Saturday is your Saturday. Oh, but Sunday's the Lord's Day. That means you're about 1/7 surrendered to God. What is it to actually be fully surrendered? Well, it is for me to daily do what He wants me to do for Him. Then secondly, it is for me to let Him do daily what He wants to do through or to me. So I'm to do what He wants, then I'm to let Him do anything He wants with me. So there's an obedience on my part and then a surrender to Him so He can do His part. In everyday life, total surrender is when something gives itself to the purpose for which it is created. Absolute surrender is when something has given itself over and it says, do with me what's supposed to be done. Let me give you a for instance. I have an ink pen here. I just pulled it. This is my ink pen. It was created to write. Right now, it's writing. This ink pen has my name engraved on it. It belongs to me. You know, it has to be absolutely surrendered to my hand as I write. This ink pen is limp. It does not have a mind of its own. You understand, if I lay that pen down there, it's not going to write anything. I pick it up. That thing is surrendered to me. If someone else holds it partially, Brother Edwards, come up here for a second. I want you to put your hand on that ink pen, and I'm going to sign my name. Oh, brother, come on. Work with me here, man. This is not okay. You can have a seat. He and I were trying to write my signature. Now, if you went down to the bank and you compared what he and I just tried to write on this piece of paper, it doesn't look anything like my signature. And you say, why? Because there's two people trying to hang on to one ink pen. When that ink pen was made to be in my hand and in my control. And folks, you're to be like an ink pen in the hand of God. You're to be 100% surrendered as a tool to God. Nobody, Nobody, the way I get that pen to do the work that it's supposed to do is it's in my hand and that pen is surrendered to me completely. You are to be like the ink pen and God is to be the one that has you in His hand. That pen is not to do what it wants to do. That pen is to do what its owner wants it to do. No words are to be thought or to be produced from this pen that didn't come from the owner. Listen, you know what? If you want to be surrendered to God, you've got to be like that ink pen. You say, God, I want to be a tool in your hand. I belong to you. I'm not going to let somebody else grab a hold of the pen. God, it's just you. See, some of you, you want to hang on to you. And then you let your friends hang on to you. I've lost track of some of my teenagers, and I'll tell you why. I've seen when it happened. They got around some people they shouldn't have got around. And before long, those people became prominent in their life. They're more interested in their friends and their pastor and their mom and their dad and their youth director. I know where I lost them. I watched it happen. What happened? They were an ink pen, and they were in God's hand for a little while. They decided to let some teenage boy or some teenage girl become a part of their life. And then somebody had taken control of them, the tool. They're not surrendered to God anymore. They're not surrendered to God anymore. Look, did you know this pen won't write any words that I, the master, don't want it to write? Can I tell you something? You shouldn't be saying any words that God wouldn't want you to say. You know that pen right there? It can't go anywhere unless I take it there. You know something? You shouldn't be going anywhere that God wouldn't want you to go. That's total surrender. Let me give you another example. My sports jacket. I have on a suit coat. It was created to cover my body. It belongs to me. This sport coat right now, it is completely surrendered to me. I have both my arms in it. It rests upon my shoulders. It goes where I go. It moves when I move. If someone else tries to partially wear it while I'm wearing it, my jacket can't do its job. Brother Edwards, you wear half and I'll wear half. Would you go through that? All right. Well, we're going to go over to the podium. Well, come with me. Yeah, this will work. All right. Now, you say, that's ridiculous. That's how some of you are with God. You want to be partially in control. You want God to be partially in control. And you wonder why you're so conflicted. You wonder why you're so confused. You're not in surrender to God. You're in surrender to you. You throw a little God in there to soothe your conscience. Thank you, Brother Edwards. You didn't stretch it, did you? You are to be like the suit coat. I'm to go wherever He wants me to go. I flex when God wants me to flex. I bend when God wants me to bend. Did you know something? When you look at me, you don't say, there's Brother Owens and his suit coat. You might today, but any other day, you don't say, well, there's Brother Owens and his suit coat. No, you say, there is Brother Owens. You want to know why? Because me and my coat have become one. You and God are to become one. That is what surrender is. Total surrender. That's how we get these words. Where I am thine and all that I have. Okay, let me give you another example. The ink pen makes sense. The suit jacket makes sense. This church building, this auditorium was built for a church service. It was created for church service. It is right now surrendered to its purpose. In the Old Testament, the Old Testament temple of Solomon was absolutely surrendered to God when it was dedicated to God. Now, let me explain something to you. This building is in submission to God right now. It's being used for the purpose that it was created. But here's the thing that happened. You understand, this building is not the house of God. Your body is the house of God.
And it should be, your body should be an absolute 100% surrender to God. So, the words were used, I am thine and all that I have. God expects us to say that. God requires it. And it doesn't matter to me if you're a brand new Christian or a brand old Christian. You should say, I am thine and all that I have. Not partial, fully. What does it mean? It means I do daily what He wants me to do, and I'm willing daily to let Him do anything He wants to do with me. Number three. Now, here's something I think will help you. God will help you to be able to say, I am thine and all that I have. He'll help you with it. See, you don't surrender all as a proud gesture. Surrendering all is not this cocky spiritual achievement. So you can walk around and say, I've surrendered all. Look at me. I feel good about me because I've surrendered all. Look at me. That's not what God has in mind. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. God does not expect you to be able to surrender all in your own power or in your own strength. I think there are some sincere people under the sound of my voice and some humble people under the sound of my voice who would say, honestly, Pastor, surrendering all, that is whopping big. Pastor, that's bigger than me. I know. But God doesn't expect you to do it all by yourself, because you and He form a team to get it done. You say, how does that happen? Living within you is the Spirit of God. He longs for you to totally surrender. He longs for it so much that He will help you to attempt and achieve this thing of total surrender. He was put there to help you to totally surrender. He will help you to conquer the evil in your life. He will help you to overcome the sin that holds you back. He will help you to do right. If you look at this thing of totally surrendering yourself and you very humbly and very sincerely say, that's bigger than me. I know. You will not be spiritual on your own. You will be spiritual with the Spirit's help. You say, total surrender, Brother Owens. No way. No. I know. You say, my desire is not strong enough for total surrender. Pastor, I'm not bold enough to say, I surrender all. Pastor, I don't feel confident enough to say, I surrender all. I'm not spiritual enough. Or you might put it this way, Pastor, I'm spiritual enough to know I'm not spiritual enough to be that spiritual. Let me say it again. You say, Pastor, I'm spiritual enough to know I'm not spiritual enough to be that spiritual. You say, that spiritual. Yeah, surrender all. Okay? And stay with me. Are you willing to say, God, I'm willing that You make me willing? Listen, Mark 9:24 says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Say, preacher, I believe what you're saying, but I don't think I'm confident enough to surrender all. I'm not sure I can do everything that's required of me. I understand. Let me give you another verse. Psalm chapter 37, verse number 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now somebody will come along and tell you that if you delight yourself in God, you can ask Him for anything you want, and then He's going to give it to you. That's not really what that verse is teaching. That verse is teaching, you delight yourself in the Lord, and then He will give you the right desires in your life. Let me read the verse to you again. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee
the desires of thine heart. You know what some of you need? You need the desires in your heart to be right desires. God said, you delight yourself in me, and I can give you right desires. Hey, what is holding you back from total surrender? What sacrifice do you fear? What challenge do you flee? Well, just ask God to empower and enable you to do what He requires of you. Look, folks, if God wants total surrender, and you're willing but hesitant, ask Him to do for you what you can't. But you do what you can. Now, would that be unreasonable of God? If I went to God and I said, God, I want to totally surrender, but there are a couple areas of my life that are pretty strong, and I'm not sure of myself. But here's what I'll do, God. I'll surrender all the best way I can, but I'm going to have your help. Because there's a part of this I'm just being honest, God. There's a part of this I'm not real sure about. I want to try, but I don't want to fail. But here's what I'll do, God. I'll give you all I can give. But to really accomplish this, I'm going to have a little boost from heaven. And God will say, you got it. You got it. God would not require you to do what you cannot do unless He enables you somehow to get it done. So if you give your best, and then you say, God, you'll have to help me with the rest, God will say, you've got a deal. God would be unfair. God would be unjust to require you to do something that you cannot do. That would make God a sinner. So God comes along and says, you've got a lack of confidence, but if you'll throw yourself all in, and you'll say, God, I'll give you everything that I can give. I'll do anything you want me to do, but I'm a little fearful. I'm not real sure of myself. God said, you just give me all you can give. I'll take you the rest of the way. And that's why it was said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I want it. I'm a little scared of it. I'll do it, I think. I'm not sure. But God says, give it to me. Come on. Give it to me. Look, say to God, Lord, you asked for total surrender. I want to, but I don't know if I can. So I'll give you all I can, but you'll have to help me to do the rest. What more could God ask for? God's reasonable. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, let me tell you this. If you'll do that, there's some of you're going to take your Christianity to a new level. Here's what I think. I think I have some Christians in my church that are very sincere. I think they're humble. I think stepping up spiritually is a little scary to them because they've had some failures in their past and they're wondering if they can do it. God would rather you try than not try. And I think there are some that very humbly say, I kind of don't want to make a promise to God and then turn around and not keep it. I think God would rather you make a promise and not keep it than not make a promise because you didn't try. Now, Let me give you something else. If you'll ask God, then, to help your surrender to last, help it to be lasting. So I'm going to go to God and say, God, I want to. I'm not real confident. I'll give you all I can give, but you're going to have to help me with the part that's scaring me to death because I don't know how to overcome that. Then you go to God and say, God, I'd like my surrender to you to last. Psalm 79, verse number 9 says, help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. You say, Brother Owens, listen, I've heard a sermon like this before, and I was stirred up in the preaching, and I remember that time I sold out to God, but it didn't last. I'm not sure I ought to do that again. Who told you you shouldn't do that again? Can I explain the Christian life to you? You try and you fail, and you try and you fail, and you try and you fail, and you try and you fail. I've been saved now. I got saved when I was a 16-year-old boy. I'm 56 years of age. So for 40 years, I've tried and I've failed, and I've tried and I've failed, and I've tried and I've failed. I just got to keep trying.
Say, I surrendered all once, preacher. It didn't work out very well. We all surrendered all once. And then twice. And then thrice. And I don't know what the number is for four that sounds like that. So then the fourth time, and the fifth time, and the sixth time. Really, if you want to accomplish this, you keep on trying. Where you made your mistake is, you tried, and then it didn't work out the way you thought that it would. So you just stopped trying. Now, I'm real glad you didn't do that when we were potty training you. We'd be changing some adults over in the nursery right now. I would rather you sold out even for a while than not at all. Doesn't that sound odd? No, well, you say, what are you saying? Look, I think we ought to sell out to God and give Him everything and be confident and do it by faith and be courageous and live that way for the rest of our lives. But just in case it doesn't work out that way, sell out. See how long you can go. This is called being real. Let's see, how long can we go? How long can we stay right with God? You know, there's two people involved in your total surrender to God. God, the everlasting, omnipotent, all-capable, never-failing King, and you. You say, God, I'm not like you. God said, I already know that. God, I'm not as strong as you. God said, I already know that. God, I'm not, I cannot perfectly do this. God said, I'm the one that wrote the book that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm the one that wrote the book that said, if a man saith not sin, the truth is not in him. Hey, look, God said, I already know that. Then God, what do you want? He said, I want you to give your best. Stop making up excuses. Jump in. Try as hard as you can. And if you fail, okay. Just try. Sell out. Try it. But God, it may not last. Last time it was only weeks. God said, I'll take the weeks. Try again. I can see why you don't trust yourself, but ask God to help keep you surrendered and then trust Him. You believe in prayer? Say, God, I'm going to surrender everything. I'm going to surrender it all. But you're going to have to help me with this. I've tried this before. And I get hyped. And I'm sincere and I try. And a few days later, I forgot what I promised. And I look at myself and say, what are you doing? God said, God, I'll try again. But I'm going to need your help to keep this thing going. Do you know what? Every time you do that, you get closer and closer to accomplishing what you need to accomplish. Trust God to help you keep that commitment to Him. Surrendering is something, and I'll tell you this, folks. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm going to surrender all to God today, and I hope that carries me through the rest of my life. I want to tell you what I do. I just surrender all to Him every day. I start over every day. You make yourself, I was 16 and I surrendered all to God and it carried me. Man, you are a miracle worker. Come to my office and counsel me. I surrendered all in a church service and come 2 days later, I needed to surrender all again. I needed to surrender it again. Whatever part of it didn't stay surrendered, I surrendered it again. But your goal is to be surrendered to God all day, every day. And when you realize you're not, surrender again. I've got good news for you. Living the I am thine and all that I have life brings God's blessing. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It maketh rich. Folks, surrendering all will produce blessing. Surrendering all will bring a power in your life that's unique, and I'll tell you why. You surrender all and tell the Lord, say, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I'm willing to surrender all, but you're going to have to help me because I don't think I can do it myself, which God already knew. You know what happens then? The power of God, you get a surge of the power of God to come into your life to help you do it. See, surrendering all brings a power to your life because God is going to help you to live that lifestyle. Surrendering all will produce peace in your life. Folks, what some of you don't realize, there are a lot of emotional turmoils. Most of them are attached to a lack of surrender in the life to God. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. God said, I'll keep you in peace if you are just, you're mentally surrendered to me. If you keep yourself mentally surrendered to me, you'll have peace in the midst of the storm. Surrendering all will produce the blessing and productivity in your life. I think surrendering all, I think it produces special protection in your life. Let me warn some of you. For some of you, you get beat up a lot in life because you get away from God. If you have surrendered all, that means you're walking with God. Do you realize, Brother Edwards, be God for a second with me. Okay, Brother Edwards is God. I decided I want to surrender all, which means I'm not going anywhere that God's not going, and I want Him to go everywhere with me. And so you know something? Do you know right now I'm walking with God? I'm surrendered to God. If He stops, I stop. If He goes, I go. If He turns around, I'm going to turn around. Guess what? Anything that happens to me while we're doing this, He's right there. Nothing can happen to me unless God's a part of it because I'm right with Him. But I'll tell you what you do. You stop coming to church. You stop serving God. And you know what? Now things happen to you out here. You say, I got beat up twice as bad. What's happening? Well, maybe you ought to get back up to God where the protection's at. You see, surrender to God produces a protection in your life. It produces a power in your life. It produces a productivity in your life. You say, I don't think anybody can totally 100% surrender to God. I know it and He knows it. So what's it leave when He asks for total surrender? He just wants you to give your best. He already knows that you're not going to be 100% perfect. For a human being, that's impossible. So what's He want? What you got? Come on, He says, give it to me. What you holding back? Give it to me. Well, I'm afraid I'll fail. Okay, let's clear it up right now. Yes, you will. All right, now that we've got that out of the road, come on, give it to me. Don't you think God knows that you're going to stumble? Why do you think He saved you and gave you the security He gave you in your salvation? Because He knew if He turned it over to you, you'd screw it up. Come on, give it to me. That's what He's asking. I can't do it, Brother Owens. I can't surrender all and succeed. For some of you, how do you know? Have you ever even tried? Surrendering all will take you to a new level in your Christianity, even if you fail when you do it. I won't do this to anybody in here, but I got to tell you, my life, Brother Uriah, my life is a series of surrendering all and failing. And then Brother Ryan, then I surrender all again. And I fail again. I say, oh God, this one's going to catch. I'm going to give you everything I've got. And then I fail. And I try again. But you know what? All that trying and failing has sustained me. I'm a better Christian than I was before I tried. I'm further along than what I ever dreamed I would be. I got a long way to go. Because you know what? I'm going to have to surrender all again and try again. I love those words. I am thine and all that I have. I have to throw this in here because it happened. That mom had all those wax beads. She got a pretty good handful of them out of his mouth, out of his pockets. And she had put them, she had a Kleenex in her purse. And she put that Kleenex out on that book table, and she took that wad of gooey, sticky beads, and she put it on that wad of that Kleenex. She went back to texting. You know what I seen that little codger do? He was sneaking over, and he went to grab those beads, and he's going for the mouth because it was a good hiding place. The last place she looked was in his mouth. You know, some of you, you surrendered all before, and you just make a mistake,
of just going back to some of that saying dumb stuff. Don't you think about it? Think about what that's done to your life. Don't be like that little boy. Don't try to grab that stuff back into your life. I'm glad she caught him. I seen he reached for that little thing, and she went, I forget his name, it was like JJ or something, but she went, JJ, and she looked at him, and he took his hand back. God today, for some of you, he's saying to you, now you stop that. You get back on track. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I want to welcome you to the Savior. Is there anybody here that would say, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I'm not born again. I don't know I'm going to heaven. Who here would say, Pastor, I'm saved. I've been born again. But Pastor, I do need to surrender all. Okay, let me start here. Who here would say, Pastor, I've never surrendered all. I've never done that before. I've been fearful. Maybe I've not known what to do. I've never surrendered all. But God, today, in my heart, I'm willing to say, I am thine and all that I have. God, I'll give it all to you. And you'll raise your hand and say, I've never surrendered all, but I'm willing. I see hands up. Yeah. There are hands up for the first time. Say, I've never surrendered all, but I'm willing. I'll give it all to you, God. You can have it. God bless you for the sincerity of those hands. Who here would say, Pastor, I've done it before, but I didn't always stick with it, and I think I need to push the reset button. I need to do what you do, Pastor. I need to surrender all again. I feel like today I need to give it all again. Would you raise your hand? I'm going to push that reset button. I'm going to give it all again. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Listen, I wish I could promise you 100% success. I cannot, but I can promise you God's help, and I can promise you success in the Christian life if you'll just try. God knows you're not perfect. He knows it better than you. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. I'll turn to the pianist. They'll begin to play. When they do, we'll stand. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be born again. If you're here today, and maybe you want to come and get on your knees and say to God, God, I surrender all. I'm going to give it all to you. I've held back before, but I'm going to give it all to you. Even if it's a recommitment, you need to come. You come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Everyone standing, if you need to come to the altar for a moment, you come. There's somebody here. You say, I'm going to push the reset button on my surrender. Then do it now. I surrendered in the past, but I've gotten away from it. And I tried, but I failed. But I'm going to try again. And remember, all you do is you go to God and say, God, this scares me. I'm trying to be honest with you. I've tried before, and I fail. And I'm not real sure I can do this. But what I'll do, God, is I'll give you everything I can. But God, you're going to have to run to my aid on the rest. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God already knows that you're limited. God already knows that you're a sinner. God wants to know that you're willing. God wants to see you give what you can give. I'll tell you what. You carry yourself as far as you can carry you, and I believe God will help carry you the rest of the way. I am thine and all that I have. He expects it. He deserves it. He then will help to accomplish it. What's it bring? It brings a peace. It brings a power. It brings a productivity. If you need the altar, it's still open. Folks, remain standing, if you will. Let's do something. We have a few candidates we're waiting for baptism. Brother Hollinger, let's do this. Brother Edwards, let's stay with that song right there. I Surrender All. What page is it? Do you have it marked there, Brother Edwards? He'll find it. 308. Turn to 308 in your songbook. Remain standing. Let's sing it for a moment. And Brother Edwards will lead us. We're waiting for a few people that will be baptized. But let's sing the song. Let's sing a couple verses of the song and think about what you're singing when you sing I Surrender All.
Number 308. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. To Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.